You've been richly blessed. The Lord has certainly been among us. Thank the Lord for His gospel. I want to pick up where we left off last night from the book of Colossians. Notice verses 9 to 11. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, at first brush, we read that and we think, oh, here we go. I've got to go out and try harder, do more, and be more diligent. You may have heard of the fruit grower. He had a tree in the orchard that wasn't producing. So he knew what should be done. He took apples, went out, stapled them to the tree that wasn't producing, and thereby, that tree looked as good as the next. Of course, a few days later, those apples rotted, and he was no better off than he had been before. But that's exactly what we do as Christians. Yeah. We attempt to put on, to just act a certain way, because we're supposed to act a certain way, and think that God's somehow pleased. And if you think that's what this text has just said, you have, and I have totally missed the mark. We noticed last night that Christianity is the gospel. And this passage shows us that Christianity bears fruit in the gospel. It does not bear fruit outside the gospel. In fact, if you're having difficulty bearing fruit, and let's notice before we even get started that the fruit he names here is the fruit of joyfulness. And you know how much good it does to act joyful when you're not joyful. But he's saying that to bear fruit specifically comes from knowledge. Let's read the text again. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, with being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, with all patience. Herbert Mueller, some of you may have heard of him, from the 1800s in England, ran many orphanages, was such a blessing to so many people. And you can imagine the rigor of attempting to take care of children in such desperate needs, so many emotional problems. And the financial needs were phenomenal. And yet George Mueller never sought financial help. He believed God would provide if indeed this was God's will. And in the midst of it all, he made this statement. While I was staying at Nailsworth, it pleased the Lord to teach me a truth, irrespective of human instrumentality, as far as I know, the benefit of which I have not lost, though now 40 years have passed away. And the point is this. I saw more clearly than ever that the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. The first thing to be concerned about was not how much I might serve the Lord, how I might glorify the Lord, but how I might get my soul into a happy state, and how my inner man might be nourished. Friends, for the tree to be bearing fruit, The tree has to be healthy. And when we're not bearing fruit, it's because our soul is not healthy. And it's the news of Jesus Christ for a soul that actually gives it the ability to bear fruit. Sin is the insanity of attempting to find pleasure outside the Lord. Sin is the insanity. It's insane, friends. Absolutely insane for us to try to find pleasure outside the Lord or to forsake the pursuit of pleasure outside the Lord. You're acquainted with Jeremiah 2, where he says, "What is evil? What is that which appalls the universe?" You're acquainted. I'll read the text. He's specifically saying that they've gone to their own cisterns to attempt to fill their heart. Yeah, broken cisterns. What's he saying? He's saying heaven. Now, what in your mind do you think appalls heaven? Oh, God. I mean, what do you think it is? The passage in Jeremiah's language is indicating that's what appalling to heaven is that we turn to our own ways, our own doing. We turn to anywhere else to attempt to find pleasure and to serve Him. Verse 12, Jeremiah 2. "Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, which can hold no water." Living the Christian life is not have to, supposed to, make yourself. We do that all the time. We do it to our spouses. We do it to our kids. Why are you doing this? Friends, the real need, the primary need, behavior is more about belief than it is behavior. Behavior is more about belief than it is. I said that wrong. Behavior, yes, more about belief than it is behavior. And that's what this passage is saying. Paul's writing to people who had not heard the gospel. They heard the gospel. They got the gospel. The gospel came unto them and they were enthralled, amazed, overwhelmed at what Christ had done for them. And they wanted, desired, joyed living for Him. Now, it may be a crazy example. When I was about 19, beginning looking around, thinking, you know, it's time to settle down, get married. I don't know why on earth. Mother thought she could help. I said, "Why don't you look at such and such a church?" I thought, "I'm never looking there." And then go to a meeting and suddenly, a certain young lady named Charlotte, it's like, that's the one. Now, if you would have asked me just 24 hours before, long distance relationship, never going to happen. Write letters? Nada. Never. That's no good. Leave on the weekend, go, stay away, get home late Sunday night, still have to go to work Monday morning. Not good. It's a waste of money, gas, wears out my car. My car was my God before. None of this works. And friends, when you fall in love, something changes. Right. What's your Christian life like? Has the gospel come to you? Are you in love with Christ so that the good works that are mentioned here are those attitudes and actions that you desire to do and delight to do? Because you're in love with Him because of His love for you. That's what Paul is saying. There's no other way this can be possible. He said that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Now, there's a funny thing about the Lord. He actually knows our hearts. Now, we think if we're acting right, we got it. Where did we ever get the idea if we're going through motions, God is happy? I wasn't happy with the kids when they went through motions. I'll do what you say, you mean old dad, but I'll be glad when I get out of here. Somehow that didn't fit the bill. And somehow my sweet wife can tell if I'm just going through the motions. But somehow we think we can trick God. And that He's happy if we're just going through the motions. Hammering out the responsibilities. Getting her done so everybody knows how responsible we are. It's not Christianity. It's not Christianity. Just lay it on the shelf. It's Phariseeism. It's acting like we're something we are not. Christianity affects the heart. The gospel gets in where you live and breathe and think and feel. So that who Christ is becomes more phenomenal and becomes more central and actually becomes more literal than what we see around us. You may have heard the account of the counselor. I used to counsel this way myself. So when the couple comes in, they're having problems, you know. So you say, it's usually the husband who can't get it. I hate to say that, but after all these years, that's usually the way it is. So you say to him, well, you need to take your wife out at least one night a week, you know. You need to keep the kids, you know, ever so often, and so she can have a night, you know, shopping or with the girls or whatever, you know. You need to say that you love her at least, you know, once a day. And you need to buy her flowers, you know, on special occasions. Well, I mean, as husbands, you know, give us a job, we'll do it. And so the couple comes in, you know, and by golly, he's doing it. And she says, Pastor, I've just become another item on his list he marks off when he gets it done. Nothing down here. And I found out it's actually making the situation worse, because now he feels better about what he's doing and he's more frustrated because she's not responding. Do you think it's much different with the Lord? No. It's not a bit different with the Lord. You say, Brother Dick, are you saying we don't even have to do good works? I'm saying if you think that's good works, you're really in trouble. Yeah, that's the real problem. For this cause, it's the cause they heard the gospel came unto them. We do not cease to pray for you. What was Paul praying for them about? Well, read Paul's prayers. How do you pray for people? What is the first item of priority if we're having trouble with good works? And we all are. We all are. So what do we need to do? instead of trying harder to do good works.
Our heart needs stirred up to love.
Notice Paul's prayer. Book of Ephesians. Here he is. You remember this place. Do you remember that the persecution was great? Paul was even, made to leave town. They all gathered together in their arena that held maybe, 20,000, 25,000, a big arena. Great as Diana, the goddess of the Ephesians. I mean, they were in real trouble here. You would have thought Paul was praying. Well, give them strength and give them, the ability. And like Brother Kenneth was preaching, I thought, Brother Kenneth was preaching. I said, it may not sound to you like they dovetail together, but to me it was just like, go for it. Keep on going. It's like, this is exactly what I'm trying to get across. Because as Stephen saw Christ, he didn't even see what was going on. Was it a problem for me to get in that automobile and go? Not a bit. In fact, Mother, rued the day because now Dickie's coming home, wee hours in the morning, because obviously he stayed to see her until the last dog, of the night, and then get home at, drive 4 hours to get home. And you can imagine the parents, don't do this, kids. It's just something that happened in those days. You get home at 3 or 4 in the morning because you didn't want to leave her till midnight, and on it goes. Friends, if our love for Christ is vibrant, your work for the Lord will be sure. Ephesians 1. Almost the same thing, just fleshes it out a little more. Verse 16. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And that was a prayer we were reading in Colossians 1. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now in Colossae, they were fighting Gnosticism. And Gnosticism was a system of belief that separated head knowledge from heart experience. That's what Paul was fighting. And what Paul is praying is that heart knowledge would be, head knowledge would be heart experience, that they would be coupled together. In fact, it's impossible to separate them in the real world of serving the Lord. It's impossible. We are so demented. We are so depraved. We have been so affected by the fall, we separate them, but they're not really separated. If the will is to will to do something, it must actually be that the heart is convinced that it's the best thing to do. But that will not continue to happen unless the experience follows that it indeed was the most blessed avenue to pursue. And this morning, if you're empty as a gourd, you know it. You know if you're here just out of the motions. You know it. Doesn't matter if you're young here on the first or second pew. It doesn't matter if you're way up towards the end of life. You know if you're just going through the motions. And we all are, to one degree or another. And to the degree we are, we need our knowledge, that is, our affections, stirred by the gospel of Christ, seeing who he is and what he's done for us, so that our following him is second nature. It's like I could do nothing else. Paul's prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Oh, friends, this is the gospel is so rich. The truths of Christ are so profound that anything on this earth just dies away in comparison. Why in Scripture, for instance, why in Scripture does the Lord often compare our walk with Him as marriage? Christ even dying for us, right? He died for us. He was the bridegroom, we're the bride. He died for His bride, right? And when we walk away from Him, in a sense, and Scripture often calls it adultery, right? Why is that? Because, friends, a walk with the Lord is such an intimate relationship and has such emotional satisfaction and captures your heart so deeply, so broadly, so profoundly that it's better than the richest marriage that's ever been. You heard me correctly. Walking with Christ, the knowledge of Christ, His love for me. He loved me, friends. He actually loved me and does. And it's so profound to my soul. That intimate, sweet, overwhelming realization is so rich. It's deeper. It's more emotionally satisfying. It's more mentally captivating than the richest relationship on this planet. Listen, it's religion. We're just still in religion if we're thinking it's what we do for Him instead of what He has done for us. No beauty compared to God's beauty is beauty. I don't care what sin it is. I don't care what good work it is. No doing of good works will satisfy your soul like walking with Christ. And walking with Christ, then you will follow the good works. Let me give you this quote from Luther. Living by faith, he said, does not ask whether good works should be done. Rather, before the question is asked, in love they're already done. Amen. Yeah. Next to the wisdom of Christ, he says here, he prays that they may have the wisdom and knowledge. The wisdom that Christ on the cross would actually fulfill the law, as Brother Kenneth was saying, in our behalf, your behalf. Listen, it's your dead works. It's our works that are empty. It's our works that are have-tos and must-tos instead of the works that get to and like to and glory in doing it. It's that stuff Christ died for as well. Your dead soul to Christ. He died for that. He died for the fact you don't love Him like you ought to. None of us do. Next to His wisdom, all other wisdom is idiocy. Next to His goodness, all other goodness is like filthy rags. I love this quote. Next to His purity, all purity is squalor. Next to His grandeur, all other grandeur is darkness. Next to His righteousness, all other righteousness is excrement. That's Scripture, friends. That is Scripture. Paul said he counted everything. I said everything because the Scripture says everything. I count everything. I know it's graphic. We would even say in our finery it shouldn't even be mentioned. Paul said everything. Compared to the knowledge, the experiential walk with Christ is dung? Yes. Next to righteousness, all other righteousness is excrement. Next to power. I love this thought. All the stars of the universe exploding simultaneously is more than a dewdrop falling off a leaf. That's your God. That's your God in all the universe. If He ceased to think about you,
God would go out of existence. If he ceased to have you on his mind, God would go out of existence. That's how much he loves you, cares for you, died for you. Glory. The glory of God, in comparison to all other glory, is darkness. What are you clamoring for? I desperately need to have better good works. I've been trying so hard, I'm sick of it. I've been trying so hard, I'm so tired, I don't even want to try anymore. Until I go back to him and just say, how can it be I'm so sinful? How can it be that I am so sinful that serving you has become difficult? How can that be? And I need my heart stirred again to love him more. So wherever your difficulty is, instead of striving harder, look to the cross. Look to the cross. Amen. Confess your lethargy, sure. Confess your lack of love, sure. In fact, we need to confess it. That's often the problem. We try to just keep trying hard. And then pray. Pray with all your heart. Pray until the answer comes. Pray. Bombard heaven. Confess it. Lord, I need to love you more. Show me. Help me. Bless the gospel to come to me. Until I love you with all my heart. Or a little bit better anyway. And then, friends, you'll be serving him. And others will be know why you're serving him. And it'll be a blessed state. I thank you for your kind attention.